Well, I have a one of the people I'm acknowledging in the audience that of this work here. So my name is Peter Sinsheimer from UCLA. This project, I think, may address this issue that was just raised about what do you do about the problems with enforcement. If you eliminate the hazard, then there's one solution. So the title here is Deploying Safer Alternatives Through Public Health Law. This the idea here is to explore a shift from risk management to risk prevention paradigm through the case study of lead. I want to thank the second slide here, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding, giving us the opportunity to actually explore this idea. So we've assembled a team at UCLA, both in the School of Law and the School of Public Health, as well as a number of students in the School of Public Health, of one of whom is sitting here, Michael Zhang, and School of Law, a number of law students involved in doing this research. The goals are twofold, but one is to use four case studies of lead to evaluate the idea of the role of law in driving substitution of toxic chemicals through safer alternatives. And the idea here is to develop a methodology for integrating prevention-based alternatives analysis approach. So with that in mind, there's three phases. This work is actually going to be ending in May of next year. So we're kind of going through the first phase, we're going through the second phase and into the third phase here. But we first did a surveillance of lead uses in the United States, developed a way to get down to these four cases that we want to look at in particular, do an alternatives analysis of those four cases, and then look at the barriers to the diffusion of safer substitutes and possible policy changes to overcome those barriers. So the first phase, Michael actually developed this slide, which is this is just characterizing through a life cycle, which is across the columns there, and looking at the rows is volume of lead use, emissions, and potential exposure, and then in those boxes, which you can hardly see, are actually databases that we're using to evaluate those three characteristics. So this is one of these is the USGS has breaks out lead sales by use in the United States, and you have this kind of nice pie chart that shows that the vast majority is lead acid batteries. Around 90% of lead sold in the United States is from lead acid batteries. And then the second highest use here is for ammunition. And then a number of the other ones are smaller, mostly associated with lead as in alloys. So what we took this data here, we did a screening to get down to 13 candidates, and then from those 13, kind of used looked at kind of the availability of alternatives and possible legal measures to move forward with adopting those as a basis for getting down to four. So the four are listed here that we kind of have been looking at as in particular. So automobile batteries and ammunition were chosen because of volume issues. Aviation fuel is chosen because of actual direct emissions from to the environment. And we did lead solder because it's a consumer product. So we kind of chose a variety of different uses and applications. So phase two. So that we're kind of in the middle of developing phase two. Phase two kind of there's kind of two parts to it. One is to develop an alternatives analysis methodology. This is a kind of new field where risk assessment's been going on for 30, 40 years now, and developing methodology for risk assessment. Alternatives analysis as a methodology is not fully formed. So we've worked to develop some methodologies around that. And then the idea is then to apply that to these four cases. So where's alternatives analysis in relation to law? There's actually a good history, relatively recent history, of embedding alternatives analysis into law. Montreal Protocol is kind of the best leading example of that. But even in the EU, there's some recent regulations. There are federal statutes in the United States that use alternatives analysis, not by that name, but essentially looking at safer substitutes. And then there's various states. California adopted something a couple of years ago around consumer products, which is, uses the word alternatives analysis as its, the means to the end of reduction. So what is alternatives analysis? So the idea here is you focus on a product of concern. So say this is a product that has a chemical that it has hazard traits that are of concern. And then what you do is you kind of evaluate that based on a number of main criteria, human health impacts, ecological, environmental impacts, technical performance, and cost. And then you collect data on that, and then you compare that to alternatives. That's one side of the equation. And then you got to put all that together in some sort of an evaluation of these to then sort possibly by what would be the preferred alternative. So the first side of this is kind of a science data-driven process of collecting data, although there's certainly scientific judgments that go along with that. And the second part is more of a normative basis of where you have to apply values to the criteria along with the data to determine a rank order. So that's the idea here. So when we started conceptualizing, well, what is alternatives analysis? It's kind of these two different things. One's the alternatives assessment component, and one's an evaluation component. So I'll quickly go through those two different parts. So the assessment part is you have to develop some sort of a generic alternatives assessment model, like what are all those criteria that you're going to be measuring. And then you have to look at the identified potential alternatives. You have a targeted product that you're interested in, and then looking at potential alternatives, and then you collect data. So that's the first part. So here's the, for this study, we need to develop the generic model. Here's the generic model that we developed. So the first columns there are the six major criteria. And then off of those, there are sub-criteria so under human health impacts, there's toxicity, and there's human exposure. And then from there, you got to then populate that with actually measures that you actually go out and measure. So on the right-hand side are all the various components of those criteria that you go out and measure and quantify. For this study, the health impacts, the hazards are relatively well characterized. What, interestingly enough, when we started this, what was not was the technical feasibility and economic feasibility criteria. So we had to kind of go out and develop some criteria for that. So these criteria here on the right side actually come from ISO. And then what we did was what we have to do for all these cases, in this case of the lead solder case study in particular, this is part of the data set that we developed, this alternatives assessment data set. So the I is lead solder, and then the J through M are alternatives. So those are the kind of the alternatives that we're looking at, and then the rows here are the actual criteria that we're measuring. So under technical feasibility of functionality with six sub-criteria, and then reliability with six or so sub-criteria, and then you populate the data set that way. So and similarly with economic feasibility, again, not well characterized. We actually used what was in REACH with the criteria they used. So we looked at, this is measurement criteria here, is solder cost per board, circuit board. So that we use that as a measure, and then we also use just the idea of a positive rate of return on equity. You know, could a company make a profit using alternative? That's a pretty basic benchmark. So, and then the last one is, could you pass the cost on to consumers if it was more expensive? So, so that's the first part, which is very quantitative. The second part is this idea of kind of fitting that into some sort of a way to do the ranking, the rank order. So that part is, there's a number of different methodologies to be able to do that. This is different approaches that could be used. Verbal argumentative approach, this is actually something in the literature in the EU uses, like essentially going with your gut. What do you think? What do you think is the best one? Oh, I think this one is, without actually quantifying things. And then there's something called decision analytic approach, and that's the approach that we used, which was kind of more transparent, and where the values that you place on the criteria are overt. And we used something called multi-criteria decision analysis, very well founded kind of theoretical model for decision making. There's different kind of methods that you can use. And so just for an example on here, this is if you use one of these methods called multi-criteria, multi-attribute utility theory, you kind of come up with a rank order of these alternatives. So there you have the middle one there is the chemical of concern, product of concern, which is the lead solder, and on either side you have alternatives. So that's, and then you could also, what's cool about this is you kind of break out the what drove the increase. The last one was tin copper. Why was tin copper better? And you can kind of break it out by what drove that. And that's kind of a nice ability. So in design principles, this actually showed itself to be transparent, flexible, pragmatic, one thing that we realized here is that we actually filled in data, missing data, with average, the average within a range, which is a standard way of filling in data. And the consequence of doing something like that, this is the baseline for this, this is what happens if you remove the filled in data, and it shows that the tin lead solder is actually significantly worse. So the idea of filling in data actually is not necessarily a method you want to do with this kind of approach. But it was at least the idea of doing this is a first shot at trying to understand the utility of this kind of model to rank order alternatives to determine safer substitutes. So we're essentially kind of in the middle of this project. So we're going to be taking the work that we did on this the solder example and using it for the other alternatives that we're going to be the other three alternatives that we're going to be doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.